Good. You picking it up? All right.
Well, to God be the glory. It's been a delight in our preparation to come and hang out with y'all. We even had a treat a few weeks back. Miss Barbara and Brother Jerome slipped in and came up to Meridian, or came through Meridian. But he's going to tell you, don't listen to the preacher. He does not live in Meridian, and that's right. We what, 40, 35, 40 miles north of Meridian. He said we're closer to Mississippi State than we are Meridian. But it was a delight for them to come and hang out with us. We tried to get them to stay. Stephanie cooked a big old pot of gumbo and had it on there to feed them. We was going to feed them good, but they was wanting to get back. Rush, we didn't get to have them over. But that gumbo was good, though. I got in it. And, no, Miss Barbara needed to get on back for work. Had to get on over to Baton Rouge the next day. And if I'm not mistaken, y'all stopped and got to fellowship with your sister, which was a blessing for her, I know, and for y'all as well. But it was a delight to have you. And anytime y'all coming up through that away and we are at the house, we'd love for you to stop in. I know these old men's heading on to Tennessee on a regular basis. Y'all welcome to come stop. Any of y'all, we'd love to have you and hang out with us. We've got an extra room. You're welcome to stay. We've got a few air mattresses we'll put you on. We'll just let you hang out with us if you'd like to do. Stephanie, I'd love to cook for you and feed you good, and we'll just have a grand old time. But we're glad we're here this week to be able to celebrate what God is doing in y'all's life. We want to celebrate what he's doing in ours, and we just want to give glory to Jesus for being so gracious and kind and merciful to us. And we're going to be looking at, from the scriptural understanding, what God gives us about family this week. That's really our objective. That's what Brother Jimmy asked if I would work with this week from that perspective. And one thing we always want to remember is that I believe God has solutions for us for everything in life. He has answers for us. And when I say answers, he has wisdom for us. His wisdom, his solutions for things in life. Now what I mean by that is all of us, no matter how we look at it, have different variables in our family life. And we're all doing different things within the kingdom of God. We all have different assignments given to us by the Lord. The family dynamics in our homes are all different. Some homes, you have an empty nest. You have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Some homes may have a blended family. Some homes are dealing with children that may be wayward. And some homes may have children that are serving, arrows launched out in various, but all of us have such a variety of differences when it looks at the family dynamic, but I believe God has answers for all of us. And we can trust him. We can go to him. And we're going to look at this week of what God originally started back in the book of Genesis. We'll probably dig in that most likely tomorrow night and into Tuesday, and we're going to look at the consequences of the fall and how that had an effect on the marriage and had effect on the family life, but how Jesus renews and restores and brings us back to places of what was lost in that fall. We're going to look at it from the perspective of how we have to be careful with our environment, the culture that we live in, that are telling us how we're to live and what we're to do. And we got to be careful from trying to live a life to impress other people and just ask God to help us live to bless and never to impress people. We want to bless those that God's given us to nurture and cultivate and love on and lead and let God deal with the rest of it. But we got to get to that place, and we want to pursue that this week. And I come just giving some suggestions to you that I've learned, some things we've experienced in our own family. We have three grown daughters. They're all married. They're all in various places doing various things. And we have three son-in-laws that we love dearly that are doing a great job taking care of our daughters. And we have four grandchildren that we just treasure. And many of you know us very well after 11 years of coming, but some of you may not know that. And we haven't always done it right. I want to tell you, we've done a lot of things to mess it up. But I'm grateful God's helped me not let my mess-ups keep messing me up. That he has answers, he has solutions, he has mercy, he helps me. And I don't want my guilt in my life for the mess-ups to go ungraced. I believe God has grace to help me recover and then help other people not do some of the same things we've done in our life. And Brother Jimmy mentioned earlier how we talked about standing on the Scriptures and not being on polar opposites, how it's easy for us if we see somebody doing this, we want to go to the other side and do just opposite instead of asking God to help us be balanced on the truth, balanced on the Scriptures, and ask God to help us walk with Him. And I think He will. I believe He does. And I see Him doing it in other people's lives. And there's so much you can help Stephanie and I with, and I pray that we'll be able to help you with some things this week as well. So, one thing that I did mention to Brother Jimmy, some people have asked him, well, what are we going to be looking at each service or each night? And I understand they're looking at a topic. They're looking at something specific that they would like to come and hear about, whether it be about marriage or whether it be about children, whatever it may be. And that would be very difficult for me to give a specific topic of what we're going to cover each and every night. We're going to let this unfold. I don't want to get in a major hurry with it. I just want it to come to life as God has given it. So narrowing it down to one particular thing each night will be somewhat of a challenge. I have a general idea, but I wouldn't want to tell you something that we get bogged down a little bit. And I don't want to get bogged down, but I don't want to rush it. That we cover more this morning and then carry that over into night and then have to go into something else tomorrow night. We just want to take our time with it. But I know each one of you has some questions that you may like potentially answered that you just don't have a solution for. And that's not saying that we have a solution to it. That's not saying that your elders have a solution to it. But if you would, as Brother Jimmy already mentioned, if there's something that you would like help with, you don't have to put your name on it. Do it anonymously. Fold it up in a piece of paper and just drop it in that bucket right there, and we'll check it and look at it. And if it's something that we can work with within the context of what we've been given this week with a mixed crowd, with children and all, we will do our best to add it in to what we're going to be teaching on to help you. That's the aim this week, is to be a blessing and help you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord in truth, but that your family grows and that you can walk in confidence and peace, even if things are not good. Because I want to tell you, not all things are good. And we want to recognize that. Not all things are good. We can see things that go on in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own families, within our own churches, in our own communities that are not good. But we have great promises from God that even that which is not good, He's promised to work them together for the good. That will be a blessing not only to us, but will bring glory to Him. People ask me from time to time, they'll say, Nick, how's everything going? And I'll tell them, what I know, everything is going good. But I would imagine there may be some things that I don't know about that might not be good. But see, I've got a promise from Jesus that says in Romans 8:28 that when I love Him and I'm called according to His purpose, when I've surrendered my life and entrusted myself to Him and His kingdom agenda in my life, He's promised that He works everything, the good and the bad, for my good and His glory. And the good that He works it is that He's going to use it to make me and Stephanie, our lives, more like Jesus. He's predestined that, to make me more like Jesus. And He can use the twisted, the ugly, the bad, the horrible, the evil, the fallen, the wrong, and He can use all the good and make it into something that is beautiful. Amen? It's just what He does. And we can praise Him for that and give Him glory. So there's things that might be going on. Think about it in your own life. How many times have you known someone that you dearly loved, cared for, or just was an acquaintance, you're a co-worker, that could have possibly had something going on inside their body for the last, say, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, maybe a year or two, but they didn't know what was going on, but they was diagnosed with something like cancer. That just didn't start overnight. That more than likely had been going on for a little bit of time. They didn't know it. You didn't know it. Nobody else knew it. But see, that was something going on in their life that they didn't know. They thought everything was good, but something bad was going on with inside of them. But God says He's able to even use that to be a blessing in our lives. And He does. So take your revelation today and turn to Psalm 144. That's where we want to start, Psalm 144. Psalm 144, and by way of those suggestions, look, we wouldn't do anything in here to be a hurt to you in any kind of way. So don't feel like, well, if I ask this question, everybody's going to know it was me asked it. Don't let that distract you from seeking help. And if you'd like to ask off to the side, that would be perfectly fine as well. Might not be able to answer it, but we're going to find somebody who can give us some help, pointing us to the Scriptures to find help for you in the journey. Because we want our families healthy. Amen? We want them healthy. When I say healthy, we want them whole. We want them, as this psalm is going to point out to us, and this is why I want to start here. David, he requests some things of the Lord for God to do in his own life, and he understood that when God is doing this in him, there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a blessing. There's going to be something that comes out of it. You could read it in various ways. You can read it as if he is declaring this is going on in their lives right now. But I believe he's asking God to do something in him and with him and around him. And the result of what he does, and we're going to talk about how this relates to the leadership and how the people relate to the leadership in the home, in the church, in the communities, how all these things relate and tie together, they have an effect that really blesses people. And that was the aim of David. I'm also, you're going to see me use a few electronic things. I've got notes in here that I may read from this week. And when I think about David out of this psalm, King David asked God to prepare him and rescue him from lies, liars, and manipulators for God's glory and the sake of his children, community, commerce, and his country. Let's read it and you'll see it unfold. Verse number 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Something you want to keep in mind. Yes, David was a warrior, and he's a warrior king who operated under the theocracy of God, and they did battle, and they did fight, and they did war. But no matter how you look at it, folks, we are in a war ourselves. We are in a battle ourselves. The Scriptures teach us that we are to put on the full armor of God. If you don't even recognize that there's a battle, why would you put on the armor to battle? You see, that's part of the ploy of the enemy, is to think, to distract you, that you're not in a battle, but you are. And I want to tell you, as you're in a battle, David said, stand strong in the grace of God. Stand strong in the wisdom of God. We need God to teach us how to war and fight and battle with our hands in this age for our families, for our wives, for our children, for our husbands, for our communities. We're at a war. We're in a war. And he says here, "Lord, you've taught me." Verse 2 says, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth people under me," my people under me. Verse 3 says, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" Man is like to a vanity, a vapor, emptiness. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightnings and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, foreigners, whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings will I sing praise unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, and who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me again and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. Now here comes the purpose statement. What is this for? That our sons may be plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Oh, happy, blessed is the people that is in such a case. Yes, blessed or happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And all God's people said. Now David is here pleading with the Lord, who has taught him and given him wisdom to wage war and battle. But he knew the war was not finished. He knew the war was not done. He knew that God was his help. He was his strength. He was his life. He was his strong tower. He was his refuge. He knew who to go to. But he also knew he was in a problem. That's a few things we want to point out. David recognized he was in trouble. The trouble that he was in was as if it was rising waters. He got caught out in the sea and the tide was rising on him, and he didn't have time to escape or get out of it. And he's got his hand lifted up, pleading with God to open his hand and rid him. He not only did he recognize he was in trouble, but he recognized where the trouble was coming from. And the trouble was coming from falsehood and lies from strange children or foreign things. This is, in a nutshell, things that were foreign to the things of God. He was that water was coming on him. He needed God to lift him up out of it and rid him and deliver him from these lies. Why? Because if he couldn't be delivered out of these lies, it was going to have an effect on his children. It was going to have an effect on their commerce. It was going to have an effect upon their community. It was going to have effect upon everything they put their hand to would be affected by the mere fact of being surrounded by and being overcome with the sea, the waters of life that were swallowing him up with lies. I'm going to tell you, in a war today, with the falsehood and the lies of this society that we live in. The scripture says that the enemy, Satan for an example, is the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this age, of this world, the scriptures teach. And that the entire world system that doesn't seek and factor God into everyday life is under his sway. And that sway that they're under is nothing but falsehoods and lies. Things may seem right. Things may seem okay. Things may be okay for them. But the scripture says there's a way that seemeth right to a man. That would be joy that seems right, peace that seems right, gladness that seems right. All those things are based on temporary falsehoods that will fall apart and collapse under the feet of a world system that is not seeking out God. The scripture says it like this: there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the way therein leadeth unto death. You see, for it to seem right, and for people to cope in this world, you can't cope in this world unless you have hope. You take hope from somebody, you take somebody who's going to end their life. You remove joy and gladness and peace. You take all those things from people, and you have people that hurt people. You have things that you find out what happened last week in Florida. That's people who have lost a sense of joy. They lost gladness. They're losing hope, and they'll hurt people. They're dangerous when you find somebody that's lost hope in this world. They're dangerous to others. They're dangerous to themselves. So how does a world cope then without Jesus, who is the one who gives us hope, who is our hope, who is our joy, who is our peace? The only way a world can do that is by a false sense, temporary sense of hope and peace and joy and gladness. That's how they get through things. That's how I got through things before I understood and who Jesus was. But then he began to show me that what I'd built my life upon was a falsehood. It was a lie. And that's what David is asking the Lord to do. Rescue me as a leader of this nation. Rescue me as a father to my children. Rescue me as a dad to my daughters. Rescue me from the lie that my sons and my daughters will grow up properly and right, that what we do and what we put our hand to will be right before the Lord and have God's favor upon it. Not in what we're doing, but in who we're trusting and why we're doing what we're doing is the important thing. It said, happy is the people who are in such a case. As happy are the people whose trust is in the Lord. Amen. Because that makes the difference. Turn over to Psalm 119. 119, 120, 29. Psalm 119, 29. And I want to show you this. I think David does this on several occasions. He also does it over in 120. But in 119, verse 29, he says these words. Now watch. I think this will help us. Verse 29 of Psalm 119 says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. You see, to ask God, now think about this. I believe this is what he's saying. In 144, he asked God to rid me, comma, and deliver me. What he's saying is this. Twofold. Not only keep me from lies and falsehoods, but deliver out of me lies and falsehoods and replace it with thy law, thy word, thy truth. Because that's what God does. You've heard me say this before over the years. God never delivers us from something without delivering us to something. That's just how Jesus works. When we're out and about and we're talking with people, or we personally testifying that Jesus delivered us from a past life of living for ourselves, doing whatever we want, or we say Jesus saved us, but we don't have any testimony of him delivering us to something for the glory of God, our testimony is not full. It's based on a falsehood, because Jesus always takes a man from living for himself, and he places him in a position to live for him and for his people and for his glory. He always delivers us from a thing to deliver us to a thing. He doesn't ever just deliver us and leave us to ourselves. That would be no use of delivering us. He always delivers us from something to something. And David, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is crying out to God, is not only keep me from liars, but deliver the lie from me. Because I want to tell you, everybody in here still got lies in you. Just inevitable. That's what growing in the Lord means. It means to grow in grace and knowledge. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And what he's doing for me and what he's doing for you is still freeing us from the lies that we have held on to that we thought were true, until his truth exposed it as a lie, delivered us from it, but delivered us over to his truth to walk in it. So here's David saying, Lord, rid me from me the lie, but deliver me from liars and manipulators so that I can walk in your way. He understood he was in a sinking sea, and his only help was for God to reach down and pull him out of it. But his aim was to bring glory to God, but he understood when he did that, the effect that it would have upon his family, the effect that it would have upon the community. And I want to tell you, dads and moms, the effect that the Lord doing a work in us and protecting or keeping us from lies, that defense of the sword of the Spirit working in us, the truth of God, is not only going to benefit us in our walk, but it's going to have an effect on our children. It's going to have an effect on our work. It's going to have an effect on our communities. It's going to affect everything. And David recognized this. And he brought out a couple things in it. He said, Lord, when you deliver me from the hand of the foreign lies, those that don't know you, those that are not trusting you, did I think David was referring to foreigners that may have been living among them, servants, whatever it may be that have been living? Sure, I believe he's talking about foreigners who can infiltrate the people of God, move on in and take control. God always kept his people away from foreign things. That's what he told them the whole time they were journeying. He says, I don't want you to marry foreigners. I don't want you to live with among the foreigners because they're going to corrupt you. They're going to shift you. They're going to change the way you think. And when they change the way you think, it's going to change how you live. And it's going to change your children. And it's going to change your wife. And it's going to change everything if you don't surrender yourself entirely to me and let me continually take the lie from you and keep you from the falsehood and liars of this world. This is foundational for us, for the family. Because you can't live in this world and not be tainted with lies. I mean, you cannot walk in this life and pick up your phone or your iPad or turn on your radio or look at the TV or go to work or just live in the community. Come to church. I tell you what, you come to church, you're going to pick up on lies. It's just inevitable. Why? We live in a fallen world. And a fallen world survives off of lies. Now, it may be a truth to them. It may seem like a truth to them. It may be factual, but it doesn't mean it's a truth from God. Things can be a fact and still be a lie. Are you with me? They can, and they are. And what we find David doing, watch this, turn to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Look in verse number 16. Proverbs 21:16 says this. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of what? The lifeless. They're not actually dead. They just don't have life. They don't have God's life working in them. But notice what the passage did say and notice what it didn't say. It says that the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. It didn't say he wandered from understanding. He wandered from what? The way of understanding. Let me write this down. Y'all mind if I write on this? The plan, or let me say this, the path, let's call it that, the path to the path is more important than the path itself. You say, what in the world are you talking about, preacher? The path of God, or as our passage reads there, the way of understanding, let's just say that. The way of understanding is more important than actually the path that we've been given. The path that we've been given, let's call it the course or the mission or the assignment that God has given us to walk on and to live by. Paul talked about it in Acts chapter 20 like this. He says, for the Spirit of God testifies in every place I go that bonds and chains await me. But none of those things move me because I don't count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my what? My course. My path. Paul understood he wanted to stay on the path, but he also understood this. The way, or the path to the path, was more important than the path itself. If he deviated here, what was going to happen over here? Our passage says what? The man that wandereth away from the path, the way of understanding, is going to wander from the course God's given him, and he's going to rest in the assembly of what? The lifeless, the dead. So when Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6 says this, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not upon your own understanding, in all thy way acknowledge the Lord, what is he going to do? You see, you can't get a directed path unless you stay with the path that leads you to the path. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be what? Added to you. You see, our problem is not necessarily here. Our problem is right here. You know what hinders that problem? Lies and falsehoods. That I can live this life and be fruitful and abundant, but not stay connected or abide in Jesus. Jesus said we can't do anything unless we what? Abiding in him. And see, when we're abiding in him, what is he dealing with? He's dealing with lies that are in us, and he's also delivering us from lies and manipulation outside of us. A lot of our families are messed up over here because we deviated from the path that leads us to the path of God. You cannot substitute this right here, the path that leads us to the course of the Lord. That comes from, as we find in various passages of Scripture, I like to say this, what God says about something is more important than the thing that he says something about. What God says about a thing is always more important than the thing that he's talking about. How do we illustrate that? I'm going to illustrate it like this, with manna, for an example. Remember when God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, what did he feed them? But what did he tell them about the manna? How often were they to go collect the manna? 6 days out of the week, right? Because in 6 days, what did God do? He rained manna upon them in the morning, and he says, when you go get the manna, how much of the manna were they supposed to collect? Enough for what? Enough for the day per person. What happened if they collected more? It had what? It would rot. It would go bad. Well, what would happen on the sixth day? God told them to collect how much? He said, collect twice as much. Collect for the seventh day, because the seventh day was a day for what? Rest. So they would collect on the sixth day enough for the seventh day, but what they collected for the seventh day wouldn't rot when they collected it on the sixth day. Why? Because they were doing it according to the path that God gave them to do it. The manna was not what was important. What was important? The instructions of God. Remember when Jesus told Satan that? When Satan told him in the wilderness, said, see those stones? I can turn them to bread for you. What did Jesus say? Man is not to live on bread alone, but he's to live by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Folks, what God says about something, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord is the path that leads us to the path he's chosen for us to walk. If we negate this, this will never be fulfilled for his glory. Our families is part of this, but if we neglect the way of understanding, if we neglect the instructions of the Lord, if we neglect what God's told us, all we get is a mess over here. No matter how good it looks to a world around us, it's not favored and honored by the Lord. And David understood, God, you've got to deliver me from manipulators and lies so that I can walk in your instructions, and the reward of that is my children are going to follow behind. You're going to do a work in me, and they're going to see. And he says, I want our sons, that our sons be like plants. What does a plant do? Well, a plant, in comparison to you and me, for most cases, a plant matures quickly. You know what David was really saying? God, if you deliver us, the leadership, me, the king, if you deliver me, out of me, the lies that are still in me, and deliver me from lies, that is going to have a direct effect upon my sons, and my sons are going to mature and become wise beyond their years. They'll mature quickly. They'll see things that the average kid couldn't see. Why? Because you're working in me, and you're going to work in them. And how many of y'all would want your sons to mature at an early age? When I say mature, in their wisdom, that they can make wise choices, do wise things that not only honors and glorifies God, but honors and blesses the family, honors and blesses the community. The problems we are having right now in our society is because we've got a bunch of boys that have very little wisdom to walk in. And everyone's just doing what is right in his own eyes. And when a man treads upon that, he wants to fight him. He wants to hurt him. He wants to kill him. He wants to do those things because he's been told by watching daddy that daddy believes that he has the right to do what he wants, when he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. And that just trickles down to them. Are you with me? But you see, when we ask God to do something in us and deliver us so that our young boys, our young men, will have wise minds and knowledge and understanding. They mature quickly. Plants simply mature early, quickly, much quicker than we as humans. And he's saying, God, I need you to get involved and make this happen. But it's got to start in me. It's got to start with me. And the effect will flow over into our sons. Daddies with daughters, how many of y'all would like to know that your daughter was going to be taken under the covering of a man that was wise, that feared God, that trusted him and walked with him. I was not a young man that matured quickly. I was not a wise young man. I didn't have a father and a mother that loved Jesus and followed him. I just did what I knew was best, what they taught us. They invested in Jeremy and I, but we were not protectors. We were not providers. We were not wise in being able to be in an early age. We lived for ourselves. We went for what we wanted to go after. Like Jimmy, you did what you wanted, and you would lie, cheat, and steal to get it because you didn't have that. And David's saying, God, we want you to work in us so that you will work in our children in such a way. They will be mature and wise. And our daughters will be like cornerstones or pillars in a palace. You see, when you put a cornerstone or you put a pillar, the idea is something that is strong, something that is supportive, something that has this strength to it, and something that is beautiful. That's one of the first things. You ever been riding down a road and you come across a big house and it had big columns out in front of it? That's one of the first things you see. What does that speak to you? That speaks of somebody that is successful, somebody that's a beautiful place. Stephanie and I was riding down Highway 45, headed toward Columbus, Macon area, and just outside of Sugarloaf, there's a big farm out there, Tanner Farms, and it's nothing but hundreds and thousands of acres of cattle. And you look out across there, and there's this big, humongous house, big old mansion sitting out there that has columns on it that we couldn't put our arms around. I mean, you could see them that far from the road. And when you look at something like that, it looks majestic to you. It looks like somebody of great success. And Paul is saying that, Lord, when you do this work in us, that we will shape our daughters with purpose. That they'll be strong, supportive, beautiful, successful. When people see our women who are the heart of the homes and our young men who are maturing quickly, God, you will favor and bless that as a society. And that's what we want out of our children, wouldn't you say? That we can shape them with purpose, to be strong and supportive, with great stability. See, that's what pillars and cornerstones do. Everything's built to attach to and around and align with, to support and hold. And as Psalm 128 teaches us, that the mother, the women, are to be the heart of the home, the fruitful vine in the home that has strength and stability. You read about Proverbs 31 woman. She was not afraid to do what other people wasn't doing. Her husband wasn't losing anything because he was worried about her. He didn't lose any gain whatsoever. Why? Because she was a rare jewel. She was rare among women. She stood out among women. And she would be willing to do what our society would not be willing to do. And I want to tell you, we live in a society now that just wants to tell our young girls, just live it up. You only live once, right? You might as well live the best life you can now and have all the fun. Isn't that a saying that we hear all the time? Girls just want to have. See, that's the lie our society. The culture just keeps dumping that in their mind, and they watch how they dress and how they think and how they live. But David said, God, do a work in me so that that will have an effect on our daughters, so that they stand as support in the community, strong and stable and beautiful, and they are a display of our success in the kingdom of God. God bless us. I'm going to tell you, we need work, amen? I mean, y'all feel like you in a sea like David, Lord, deliver me from these falsehoods and lies. I think about an Old Testament queen. It was actually Ahab's daughter. Her name was Athaliah. She had quite a few sons. And one of her sons, Ahab's grandson, was upon the throne. And when he died, she went on a rampage and took advantage of the opportunity to seize power, and she killed every one of her grandsons that was heir to the throne with the exception of one. And the only reason she didn't kill him is because a woman, a daughter-in-law, got him and took him and brought him to the priest, and they kept him in the house of the Lord hidden. She didn't know where he was, or she would have killed him too. Why? Athaliah saw the opportunity to take what she wanted. She wanted the prestige and the power and the say in the kingdom. And when you think about that, man, we see that happening all the time today. We see it with how her desire to rule and make a life about herself superseded any love and compassion and duty as a mother to protect her own family. How many of you seen women and men just abandon their family to go after things that just appeal to them? It superseded all that because they felt like they had the right to take possession of whatever they want, because this world told them that the chief aim of God in this world is for your happiness. And if you're not happy, you need to leave your husband, you need to leave your family, or you need to leave your wife, and you need to leave your family and your job, because all God really wants for you is for you to be happy with the things that make you happy. And I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make us happy. He died on the cross to make us holy and without blame, not in our own righteousness, but in the gift that He gave us. Remember, He delivers us from living for ourselves to live for Him. And what Athaliah did was a tragedy. And a tragedy we repeatedly see among us even in our day. And that's why I say this, ladies, guard your hearts, for out of it proceeds all the issues of life. This culture and atmosphere we live in will push you and manipulate you to think you're missing out on a big old world out there, and all God wanted for you is to be on another adventure. That's a lie. And the Word of God helps us so much with that. You see, when your kids turn on the TV, if you're not monitoring what they're watching, when they're listening to those songs on their CDs and iPads and iPhones or whatever else they have, they listening to all that junk out there. They telling them that they were created unique. And in their uniqueness, they are perfect. And in their perfection, their happiness, if that makes them happy, that is quite fine, because you are perfect and whatever you like, that's what you need to go after and do. And I want to tell you, that is not of God. God is not in it. That is from the pits of hell. That is from Satan. That is from the liar, the deceiver. He just wants to steal what God wants to plan in your life. He wants to kill your value and worth when you go out and start participating in all these things so that he can just destroy your world around you. But I want to tell you, Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us life abundantly. And when Brother Jimmy read that this morning in Genesis, you got to keep in mind, he gave them the abundance of everything and only restricted them to one thing, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else they had access to. But see, the enemy wanted to make them think that God limited them and they needed to go after the very things that he said not to deal with when they had everything else in the kingdom of God that he created for them to live in the goodness and the pleasure and the glory of the Lord. But he duped them. He lied to them and they took the lie. And our families are in a fight right now, and it's a battle over truth and error, falsehoods and grace. We need to help them, dads, moms. None of these things supersede our responsibility of loving the Lord ourselves and asking him to do something in us. Turn to Psalm 90 as we close out this morning. Psalm 90. He says in Psalm 90, this would be something that I suggest. Dad, you need to get involved. If your kids are doing stuff on their phone, you need to be involved with them. I'd encourage you to. Grandpa's the same thing. How many of y'all know what a selfie is? Come on now, I'm not playing. Raise your hand if you know what a selfie is. If you don't know what one is, you need to figure out what one is. Why? Because if you're not isolating them and pulling everything from them, or even if you do and you send them off to school, they're going to know what some of these things are. And if you let them have an extension of who they are in the home with your leadership, get to express themselves with other people in this community and in this world, you need to be involved in it and monitoring it so that you can be a friend with them. You can see what they're doing. If they're on Snapchat and those kind of things, you need to be on Snapchat with them. You say, well, what is Snapchat? I don't figure it out. It's something that, how many young people in here doing Snapchat? Anybody? Got a couple. How many on Instagram? Few. Facebook. I know as dads, a lot of times we say, well, I'm not technically savvy. I'm technically challenged. I don't know how to do all those things. Well, I don't want to tell you it's worth, because if you're not going to lead them, somebody else will. If you're not going to protect them, somebody's going to take them. And it's important for you, if they are involved in those things, you to be involved with them so you can keep a monitor on it. I encourage you, don't let them take their phones to their bedrooms. Don't let them take them in the bathroom. Your daddy, young boys, don't let them take them in the bathroom. When they own their phones, make sure they own their phones with everybody around. So that they are not, you don't want to put them in a situation where it's just too easy for them to slip off and do something they shouldn't do. Are you with me? Just the natural aspect of being a young boy, young girl, you're going to do those types of things. So it's up to us to help protect them, amen? To protect them. When our girls was in the home growing up, we were in an age, fortunately, they didn't have phones. Phones was out there. Matter of fact, we didn't even have a phone. We come on later on to this thing. But when we had house phones, they kept pleading with us, Daddy, can we put a phone in our bedroom? Give us a phone in our bedroom. Can we be in our bedroom with a phone? No, if you're going to talk with people, we want you to talk to them in the living room or in the kitchen or wherever it is so that you can't have private conversations as a young kid with other kids, because all that's going to do is get you in trouble. Can we have a TV back in the back? No, we're not putting the TV back there either, because if we do any TV watching, we're going to do it together as a family, and we're going to monitor those types of things. Why did we do that? Well, we was trying to just hurt them? No, we loved them and was trying to protect them. And when they get up in age and they start doing their own things, you still encourage them. You can't stop them from doing stuff when they go off and be on their own, but they need to know that you did everything within your strength under God's leadership to preserve them and keep them while they were under your roof. There's not much you can do about it when they leave. Are you with me? But David said, while they in my house, God, deal with me. Deliver me from the lie. Psalm 90, in verse number 16, this would be something that I suggest to you. A prayer. Some things to think about as it applies to what we've been talking about. Verse 16 says, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and the glory, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. The psalmist is asking God to get involved in the people's life, in the daddy, in the mama's, in the family's life, and ask, Lord, let your work manifest. Let it come to light. Let it appear. Let your light shine. And when we are walking in your light, in your work, what's going to happen? The glory of God is going to shine upon their children as they walk in your work in the kingdom. And it's something that we have to ask for. I've just listed a couple things for you here to ask. Lord, give us, your servants, light to see you and your work. We need to see the Lord and we need to see his work. God's got to illuminate it. You just don't come on this on your own. God's got to get in it. Amen? That's why we ask him. Second thing we ask, make us a light that your glory may shine in and through us, that those who follow us, our children and brethren, will see you, will see your work, and will see the wonders of your glory in us. You know why a lot of kids are not in awe of the wonder of God? One, of course, they're lost. But number two, they don't see the glory of God in mom and daddy. They don't see the illuminating work of God in mom and dad. We see, if a heart's full of lies and untruths and falsehoods, how would the glory of God be manifested? It's not. We need God to illuminate our lives, to illuminate his work. We need him to illuminate the path that leads us to the path he's chosen for us, which is the way of understanding, of seeking him first so that his glory will be manifested in our life. I encourage you to go back and read Psalm 144 again today and just watch how David understood not only would it affect the children, but it was going to affect even their labor with their beast and the peace that was upon that society. People wouldn't want to be fleeing away from them, nor would the enemy want to come in and overtake them. Their beast would be under control, and their whole commerce and country would operate in wholeness and peace. And that's why he said, blessed is the people who are in such a state as that, that God is the Lord over them. And I want to tell you, we want our homes a place that our children love to be in. And not love to be in because we cultivate an atmosphere that feeds their flesh and fuels their folly, but an atmosphere that is lived to bring glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they enjoy being around us. They enjoy hearing what we have to say. Yes, sometimes it cuts them. When them growing kids, y'all can testify, when your kids start growing, going, doing their own thing, and you start having to intervene. Why? Because they're being inundated with lies in this old world, and they start thinking on some of those lies. And it takes men and women like us to stay a standard, to stay on the course, to keep trusting in the Lord and walking with him, and ask God. See, kingdom work done the kingdom way under kingdom wisdom is followed by kingdom glory. Kingdom work done the kingdom way under kingdom wisdom is followed by kingdom glory. One of the biggest problems we could be facing with those around us is that they have not seen his glory because they have not seen his glory at work in us. They've seen us work, but they've not seen us surrender to his work. They've watched us work, but they haven't noticed him at work. May I suggest
that it could be that they haven't seen Him at work in us because we haven't asked Him to let His work appear to us, nor have we asked Him to manifest His glory through our work to our children and to our co-workers. Just a suggestion to start asking God to do what we can't do for ourselves, to rescue us, to deliver us, keep us on the path of understanding so that we can walk in the fullness of what He's called us to walk in. I think it'll have an effect on our families. I know it'll have an effect upon our churches. It'll have an effect upon our communities. It'll have an effect upon our work when God is at work setting us free from lies and replacing it with His truth. See, David understood, he recognized he had a problem. He was sinking into these lies. He recognized where the problem was at. It was in falsehood and in lies. But he also recognized where his help came from. And that's who he cried out to. It wasn't nothing new for him. He had already testified that God had already taught him how to fight and how to battle a war in the flesh. Now he's asking God to fight a battle and teach him how to war a fight in the Spirit so that it would preserve not only his life but the life of his family. Accountability. I pray the Lord to help us tonight. I think where we'll be as we continue into the study, we're going to jump into the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and look how from the fountainhead of the flow of abiding in Christ, being filled with the Spirit, letting the Word of Christ dwell richly within us, everything else flows out of that. We can't be the husbands or the wives or the children God called us to be outside of the Spirit filling us and influencing our life. And we'll dig in that tonight and see what God would have for us. So if you don't mind me praying with you, we'll turn it over to Brother Jimmy and just ask God for His help. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your goodness today and Your mercy over our life. We thank You for Your kindness toward us. We've done a lot to mess things up. We've done more to mess it up than we've done to do right. But You keep being merciful with us. You keep extending grace to us. You keep helping us. And we're asking You once again today that among those under My voice, beginning with me, that, Lord, You would continue to remove the lie far from us. That You will continue to deliver us from liars and strange thoughts and people who do not know You nor walk with You. Not that You separate us from being a witness to them, but their influence has no influence on us. We don't want to be manipulated by them. We want to be the influencer, the transformer, not those conforming to this world. Pray that You help us. I know that You can, You will, and I know the results will be that we would see wise and beautiful, precious souls that are full of wisdom and strength and stability, shaped with purpose, doing work for Your glory. Thank You for helping us. Thank You for using us. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember this, don't